Good afternoon, Daniel.
Nice to talk to you after a little while. Well, as of 11:59 tonight, the easing of restrictions around regional Victoria, where does that leave fishing? Because it seems to have not been talked about.
Yeah, look, I did find a small press release that came out by VR Fish to say you could still go fishing as part of your exercise and recreation.
Right.
For 2 hours a day within 5 kilometres of your home. So if you didn't have a suitable water, that was bad luck. And I was lucky enough to go fishing on the Thursday before, just prior to the shutdown, and caught a nice fish. So I didn't get too many withdrawal symptoms. But as of midnight tonight, we can go fishing again in regional Victoria. And there's no restrictions as such. They just don't like large groups of people, so it's just social distancing, and if you can't socially distance, wear a mask and things like that. It's just about being sensible as per the normal regs.
Yeah, sure. One of which, of course, is maybe going out to try and catch a golden tag. Now, a golden tag was caught a couple of weeks ago, $10,000 going to the lucky angler. He got the day off work because the rain, you know, had came in, and all of a sudden he said, well, you know, I'll go and do some fishing, and walked away with 10 grand, and there are some fish still out there.
Oh, look, and how lucky was that fellow, $10,000 for a golden perch. He was actually fishing for trout with a trout lure, and hooked a big yellow belly that was tagged. And, he hadn't planned to have the day off and go fishing, but he just decided on the spur, and that was at Tullaroot Reservoir. And look, there's still plenty of those fish out there in, you know, the likes of Tullaroot and Upper Colobin and Lauriston and places like that.
Yep.
So, look, get out there and try it. You're going to be a winner anyway, going out and fishing and enjoying the environment.
Yeah.
Just got to rug up a bit more this time of year.
Yeah, we're getting into those cooler months, aren't we? I mean, we're the third day into winter, and I think we've had, you know, a week and a half of a dress rehearsal, and all of a sudden we're now into it. But imagine that, you're just going out, catching a fish, and, you know, you can walk away with either 2,000 or 10,000. So that'd be a nice little payday. Freshwater eels, you wanted to talk about some eels. And not the Parramatta eels variety.
Yeah, there's been some a bit of media out recently because there's a couple of new scientific studies started on Australia's freshwater eels, and particularly in southern and in our coast, southwestern Victoria, there's a lot of eels in the southern flowing streams, and a lot of people are blissfully unaware of these fish species being there.
Yep.
But around about springtime, when there's a lot of rain and a bit of flow in the creeks and rivers, all the eels head off downstream out into the ocean and migrate all the way up to the Coral Sea in to the north of Australia, which is about 3,000 kilometres. It's absolutely incredible. And I was lucky enough to see one migration in my time here in Ballarat, coming down the spillway out at Moorabool. There were hundreds of these big eels. And that reservoir hadn't overflowed for 5 or 6 years, and they were big eels, seriously big, and heading on their spawning run. So once they get into the ocean and up to the Coral Sea, they spawn and die, and then their larvae come down on the southerly flowing ocean currents, and they migrate back right around the southern coast and come up the little coastal streams as alvers, or some people call them shoestring eels, because that's about the diameter of them. And once again, if you're lucky enough in the late spring, early summer, you can see them coming up the spillway into the reservoirs, literally by their thousands.
Wow.
And it's around about that time that a lot of professional fishers that have got aquaculture licenses, they'll net up the eels by the tens of thousands and go and stock them in lakes to on-grow them. It's basically like an eel farm.
Okay.
And then within 3 or 4 years, they'll be big enough to harvest and sell into the European and Asian markets, like either fresh eel or smoked eel.
Yep.
Which is a big delicacy overseas. I mean, the whole fishery nearly disappeared with the millennium drought because all of the lakes where the aquaculture took place all went dry, and it was a real tragedy for the people involved in the industry.
Yeah.
But as part of this, the Arthur Eiler Institute scientists, part of DELP, Department of Environment, Land, Water and Planning, they've been inserting tracking devices into the migrating eels, so they can follow their migratory pathway all the way up to the north, and get a bit of an idea how many of them might survive and which way they go, and if there's places where they can be helped in some way to achieve reproduction. So it's really good, and I guess one of the really important things, and you see it down in southwestern Victoria, the local indigenous tribes there always knew when the eels were running, and it was part of their traditional food. And when they were a really good food for the local tribes, and there's quite a lot of fish traps down that way that are all kept preserved for the future, so people can go in and see where they used to run the streams through into these little traps. And they also used to weave traps out of grasses and reed material and things like that. So it's quite impressive.
Yeah.
And I guess for wreck fishers, if you're fishing after dark with a worm in the southern lakes in the state or in the streams, that's when you're going to catch an eel, and you can take it home. The hardest trick is first landing it, because they want to wrap round up your arm and on everything else, and they will slime you. But then you've got to, if you want to keep it, you've got to skin it, because otherwise you won't be able to hang on to it properly. And some people cut them around the neck and grab the skin with their teeth and rip it off. So they actually have competitions for eel skinning. And one fellow I knew, I think he's passed away now, Henry Rantel, he could skin an eel in about 45 seconds.
Wow.
Pretty incredible.
Yeah.
So, and if you go onto the internet, you can Google on the tail of the eel, and you'll get a much bigger overview of the story of the eels there. So it's a great story to catch up on.
Fascinating. I'll have all the details up on our website. We've got about 45 seconds. Where are we going to catch a fish?
Lake Wendouree, they're getting a few fish, but to me, Tallarip Reservoir and Moorabool Reservoir are both looking pretty good. You're not going to catch big heaps of fish at this time of year, but if you get out and have a look around, I like to fish lure on the top, or you can fish fly. You can catch fish in Cancurran on bait. There's some nice golden perch there still. The Loddon River, Lanakuri right through to Bridgewater. There's Murray cod going there on lures and bait. A few fish at Lake Fines and Lake Purrumbeet. They're getting some bigger redfin there at the moment, which is worth a look as well.
All right, Jeff, thank you very much for your time this afternoon. Let's talk again soon.
Thanks, Daniel.
Thank you very much. That is Jeff Cramer joining us to talk all things fishing. Fascinating about the eels as well.